section titled Honourable Women. Yes, mostly women. Nearly everyone who inspired this book were women. Yes, those stars in the book meant something. I will now tell you who they were. The woman referenced in preamble who asked, "What is it like to be you?" That woman is none other than Emmy Thomas, aka Jamie, who authored Confessions of a Sociopath. The person, also a woman, referenced in Neutral Gear, who coins the term low affects disorder, is Patrice Gagné, who authored Sociopath, a memoir. Then there's Jessica Kelly, who wrote A Tale of Two Masks, who was my first inspiration. I initially found her blog, Psychogendered, in 2018, and I even spoke to her once or twice on IRC. Nice lady. Very interesting and similar professional life to mine. I actually only read her book in 2025, though, and I absolutely loved every chapter. Much of it describes the way I live, too. I especially enjoyed her stories about coming out as transgender in the book. Both the blog, which is no longer online as I write this, sadly, and the book, cover her experience as a diagnosed psychopath and her exercise in self-restraint. I very much relate to a number of the stories in her book, although we've had very different upbringings. These and other people, most of them curiously female, inspired my own book. I greatly enjoyed reading their books, their blogs, and watching their YouTube videos. The one non-female entity that also inspired this book was James Fallon, who wrote The Psychopath Inside, a neuroscientist's personal journey into the dark side of the brain. I'm not offended when people call me a psychopath. I don't think that word, though, means anything. Same goes for sociopath. I already explained why, so I don't need to repeat myself. Submitted for your approval. One day, I wish to live in a world where people like me are normalized. This is why I avoided using the normal words, because they always invite suspicion and deter actual understanding. I probably seem eccentric and strange to some people, especially those who read my book, but then they read it again, and they get to know me, and then they do the research. Perhaps readers may consider what it's like to be me. I know I've definitely answered Emmy's question many times over, but I'll summarize it much more succinctly. What's it like to be me? Well, it's to live through constant boredom, knowing that I have to keep having this boredom for several more decades. It's to know that no matter how interesting my life is or how far I get in life, I will still feel exactly the same as I did before. I learned to accept that over time and to try to temper myself so that I experience fewer stresses. I feel that this is all fine because it's just who I am, but I don't think most readers will even fathom what this means. Can you imagine what it's possibly like to feel as bored as I do at all times? I mean, I sometimes have periods of extreme energy, but those are fleeting. Most of the time, I'm just bored out of my mind, and that's what it's like to be me. I just muddle through as best I can, really. I mean, what else is there to say? What is it like to be me? Well, it's to know that no matter what I do in life, I will always come back to the same place in my head. No matter how sensational or mundane some of these stories are, as I've written, I always come back to the same headspace as before. I can improve my understanding of myself, but I'm still myself. And being myself can be quite challenging in this world. Some people might look at those like me and envy us in some ways, but I would suggest that you think twice. Being me and staying sane requires a lot more conscious efforts because I have to do consciously what comes naturally to most people. What's it like to be me? Well, it's knowing that I live in a world that does not currently understand me or accept me. This does not concern me personally because I just get on with my life. I do know, however, that the world hates me in large parts. This amuses me, but also concerns me. It tells me that I live in an inferior version of the world because there is another world out there that may be more comfortable for people like me. Such a world could be built, but this requires more people to be educated about people like me. What's it like to be me? Well, it's knowing that these things I know, like what I've written in this book, knowing that I'm getting older. I will become old and ill, and I do not have an exciting future to look forward to. I have a neutral future to look forward to, and I don't feel anything one way or another about that. I just have a general sense that my life will become harder to maintain over time. I can fill my life with hobbies and fleeting intellectual passions, but I know I'm just going to break at some point. Being me and staying sane is extremely challenging at times, and it will become more challenging as I age. From what I can tell, it seems that the world I'm living in might actually be designed to make people like me go insane. This is what it sometimes feels like to be me. What's it like to be me? Well, I have my boredom, my fog, as it were, and everything often seems bland. Combine this with a high intellect and the ability to fully understand the problems of the world around me. I've suffered from major depressive periods at several times in my life. The years 2016, 2019, and much of 2020, for example. Large periods in time prior to 2014, including much of my teen years. I was lucky enough to find success with LibreRoots and my various other works. I can imagine a much worse outcome where I've lived an even more boring life than the one I've described in this book. I choose not to imagine that life, and I will do my best to avoid that fate. Imagine, finally, a person like me may find it difficult to maintain long-term relations. This book has already covered this. As I age, it's going to become much harder for me to be the fiercely independent person that I've been. This is going to break me. One of the things I need to do as I write this is literally establish a long-term support structure for myself. My parents and all of my relatives will die, and I don't care much for my siblings. I may have no choice, though, but to make a family in the future, one that accepts my personality that will actually cater to me in a way that's sustainable, both for them and also myself. I know of several others like myself who do in fact have this. I don't exactly want or not want this for myself, but I do identify it as my main long-term weakness. I have no choice but to be me, but I must somehow survive to my 40th birthday as me. This book has described me in my youth, which has ended. I'm in my 30s as I write this, and my life is going to become much harder from this point on. I've no idea if I'm prepared. I'm not even scared, and that's the curse. I may even find in 20 years from now that I'm exactly the same as I am now. I know as I write this, I'm fundamentally the same as I was when I was 20. I know more about the world now, but I haven't changed. What has changed is that I may have fewer delusions about the world as a consequence of aging. Life has already happened to me several times, and it will continue happening to me. That is what it's like to be me. There is no glamour or dignity in it at all. Allow me to explain it in another way before we close. If I were to one day have a neurotypical mind, if my mind suddenly rewired itself in such a way as to make me become a neurotypical person, what would I find? Well, let me answer that as best I can with my current neutral mind. I would find that I've lived a life without the normal psychological development that most human beings experience naturally. I would find myself suddenly in a world that in a mind that is unprepared to handle itself. And the fact that I did not previously handle certain aspects of my past would suddenly overwhelm me. It would probably drive me mad. Even if my mind were to snap back after a day, I would remember the madness. There are just certain aspects of the human experience that I have skipped because my mind was incapable of experiencing them. There are parts of my brain that just do not fire up like they do in a normal human brain. They're just parts of my brain that don't work. You have read a book that describes what you might have seen as a brilliant or otherwise novel mind, but you may have considered that I have experienced despair multiple times. Just because I don't experience it for others does not mean I do not experience it for myself. The I Still Love Shopping chapter satirizes what was the darkest period of my life, and I contemplated suicide several times during that period. When I later reassumed control of LibreRoots and my life in general, my feeling at the time was anger, pure anger, like I was taking revenge against the world. It felt great. That's why I responded, for example, in the way that I did during the Cold Boot War. Then my life went back to a version of itself from the mid-2010s, from 2025 onwards, and with it comes the same despair. Do not misunderstand me, however. I am not describing suicidality or depression. I still feel the anger now in a pervasive way. I see my future as restoring my past as I write this. I deeply regret the things I did poorly or not at all in my 20s, and I've been rebuilding in my 30s, this time sober. I want a family. I'm just going to say it. I want a family. My ideal partner is probably someone like me, perhaps someone who, like me, appreciates the beauty of the world. Someone like Catherine, for example, from earlier in my life, but not on drugs. What I see in my future is unclear, but I have a general sense that my life is probably going to change drastically over the next decade from this time of writing. I have felt a general sense of stagnation in the years leading up to writing this book. My life could have gone much worse, but it also could have gone much better. I feel at the time of writing this book that I'm basically at a huge crossroads in my life. My parents are retiring and will soon die. It's just inevitable. My dad had cancer a few years ago, and relapse is always possible. My mother is probably not long for this world either. I just have a general feeling that both of my parents will be dead in the next decade or so. I myself am becoming older, and I need long-term financial security and long-term social stability. What's it like to be me? Well, I'm 34 as I write this, and yet I still think and live the way I did when I was 25. I'm sober and more experienced, but I've experienced a decade of absolute stagnation in every sense, socially, politically, financially, in every other way I can think of. I'm wiser and older, though. What I anticipate now is a transition as I approach middle age. Middle age is just around the corner, and old age after that. I live under no illusion at all in that I'm aware how quickly these things will come. I've no choice. And it's going to be hard. That, in summary, is what it's like to be me. It's to know that in spite of my mind, the life I've lived, the life I expect I'll continue living in some sense, and the minds that I expect to continue having, that the world around me will just keep going on around me. It will not stop for me. That's what is it like to be me? What was it like to be me? Well, it's to know that without a plan, I will actually spiral. That is what I felt that day in the shop. That one day where I felt alone, I saw my future, I saw it all clearly, and I did not like it. What's it like to be me? What is like to be me is to know what awaits me unless I make some changes now. It's to know that I will make these changes, and I'll still have the same mind. My mind is a gift and a curse. I will become more aware of myself, of all my strengths and weaknesses as I age, and I know that my strengths will become much lamer. I will break. That is what it's like. It is to be human. What else were you expecting? All of this is to say that I am acutely self-aware, and that's the problem. Do not misunderstand me. I am not describing fear. I felt a rush as I wrote this. I felt that there is a lot more excitement waiting for me. A lot more boredom too, but a lot more life. I look forward to it. I know that I'll rise to it. Life is a thing that happens to me, a bull that I try to ride, and eventually it will kill me. For now, though, I rise to the challenge. I expect to die kicking and screaming. When I'm old, I'll just go insane. That's what I predict. I think that, you know, when I'm 80, I'll still have the same minds that I have now. I will be much older and much wiser, and that's going to be a problem. I think I'll stop here. I look forward to becoming the state's problem. Do not misunderstand me. Some of my writing will suggest otherwise, but I like who I am. I'm proud of my history and my growth so far. I'm proud of myself for having written this book. I wouldn't change a thing about me or my mind. I'm simply me, and I'm going to keep being me. That's why I mention these honourable women. Their works shed more light on this subject. I didn't see the point in reinventing the wheel, hence the very different way in which my book was written. I wanted to do something different with this book and show my mind itself, unfiltered. This is not to say that my mind is representative of all others, of course. I only represent myself. But if you want a more academic understanding, those other books and other resources online will help you. There's actually a lot more research needed into psychopathy, but we are still one of the most misunderstood and most highly stigmatized people on the planet. I hope this book was useful. I wrote it mostly as an introspection for myself, and I myself have even learned from writing it. I've noticed several patterns through to the month in which this book was written. Yes, month. It took a month to write. I pause for thought.